Yes, we're ready to go now. Today is Friday, the 23rd of September. My name is Jill Willey, and I'm at Habit Hardware talking to Mr. John Jones, who has lived in this area all his life. John, thank you very much for agreeing to have a chat with me. First of all, could we just start with your year of birth, John, please?
I was born on the 2nd of February, 1948.
And can you tell me where you were born?
I was born in a bedroom at Upper Llanfadog.
Llanfadog. Can you tell me exactly where Upper Llanfadog or Llanfadog Uchaf is then, John?
Well, as you go from Rhaeadr up the Ellen Valley, you go past the Ellen Valley Hotel, and it's the next farm on your right, about 300 yards away.
Thank you. And what sort of facilities do you remember as you were growing up? Things like running water and etc. Can you give me some details of that sort of thing?
Well, we had no electricity. Mm-hmm. The toilet was outside, about 50 yards away. And the water we had from the spout. And my mother did all the washing and that out there and by the brook. And bathing was a tin bath brought into the back kitchen, perhaps twice a week, sometimes only once a week. And no electricity, so we had these paraffin lamps which you had to pump up all the time when the pressure dropped.
I see. And how much work did you yourself do around the farm, John, as a young boy growing up?
I did quite a bit. When I attended Ellen Village School, I used to milk a cow every morning by hand because we sold milk round the Ellen Village, and that was my contribution. I milked this one cow, who was my favourite, perched on a little stool, and then I walked to the school afterwards.
And you actually got your water from where exactly, John?
Well, between the house and building at Llanfadog, there was a brook coming down, and we had a spout and a little pool there, and that is where the water came from. But when I was about 10, we had it piped about 500 yards from another well out in the field, and that was wonderful spring water. And the only time I saw that go dry was in the hot summer of 1976.
Indeed. And were your family born at and grew up in Llanfadog Upper?
My father was born there. And my mother was born at the Gunvant, Lanier.
Now, what? Were you a large family, John, in Llanfadog?
Yes, we were. I was the fourth, but there was a baby lost between me and the sister above me, so we were five, really. And so there was five of us, but I was born a long time after. My two older sisters was 22 and 20 when I was born, and two out of my three sisters were married with children, so I have nephews and nieces older than myself.
That's quite unusual, but of course it does happen. What sort of major events can you remember in the Ellen Valley as you were growing up, John?
Well, I suppose the first one was when the Queen came with the Duke of Edinburgh in October 1952. I would have been 4 years old, and I just remember standing outside the hotel over on where the bicycle path is now with our flags, and my sister Joan was a waitress in the Ellen Valley, and she waited on the Queen.
Oh, what an accolade, my word. And what places did you have to play in and to generally just explore in your Ellen Valley area?
On a farm, you had plenty of places. You had fields all around you. But I think me and my nephews enjoyed going down the brook to where it meets the River Ellen, and we were catching minnows there until I was old enough to have a rod and line. And I love fishing in those days.
Well, quite a lot of that goes on at the Ellen Valley, doesn't it? Right, now, what memories do you have of the big shearings that took place in the Ellen Valley, John?
Oh, well, it was the highlight of the year. Like, you swap men with neighbouring farms. So, you know, there might be 30 men would come to your shearing. And it was the day of the year, like, and you started off with breakfast and then you had lunch and tea and hopefully you finished about 5 o'clock. And we had one hill which was up above the Clerwyn Dam, so them sheep had to be driven down on a 2-day drive sort of thing to share at Dupplanvadog, and then that night they were taken back up to the hen run and they went on from there back to their hill next day. And shearing was a wonderful thing. As a boy, the highlight was after dinner, we'd have a game of football with all the younger men. But what I remember, there was 4 or 5 old men sat outside the barn on a bench all day, and all they were sitting down and talking about tales. And they seemed very old to me. But when I think back, they were probably only in their late 60s, you know. But the way they dressed and that, I thought they were 100.
But I'm sure they had lots of interesting memories to share, yes. So would you say that despite the rural locality, you had plenty to do and a very good social life? You knew everyone.
Oh, yes, I knew everyone. And as I'd got 2 nephews living behind the Ellen Valley Hotel, the 3 of us sort of played together most nights and played football in the field at Llanfadog. And later on, when the Birmingham City police cadets came to Ellen Village, they had goalposts put up on the green. So we used to go up there to play football. And I've seen us cycle down to Llanwthol to play Boys of Llanwthol, and everywhere we went, we cycled. And I was a founder member of RADA Young Farmers, and that started in 1963. And still we were old enough to drive, we went there on a push bike, which was just up in Bryn Tirion then, they held the meetings.
And Bryn Tirion, I understand, is the then secondary school of the area, is that correct?
Yes, it was. The only time I ever attended Bryn Tirion was to try my 11 plus.
Right, we'll come on to that now then, on to school life. Can you tell me where you went to school and what age you were when you started, John?
I went to Ellen Village Primary School at Easter 1953. My birthday was February, so I had just gone 5. And my sister Joan took me to school the first morning, and all the other pupils were stood in the entrance, I think waiting the newcomer. And I was there till 1959. And I had many a happy time looking back in the Valley School. We were never more than 20 pupils. And I think when I left, they were down to 12. And there was 2 teachers there. The first teacher was Mrs. Jim Price, or Mrs. Betty Price, and the senior teacher was Miss Chu.
I have heard those names. Right.
Could I add one more thing?
Please.
The only thing I hated about the Ellen Valley School, every June, the Lord Mayor of Birmingham came down and we had the June tea. And of course the tea was nice, I loved that. But afterwards we had to perform on stage, and every year they seemed to have me to sing a solo. And after that, the Lady Mayoress presented us all with a book for what we'd done during the year. If you'd done well, you had the best books.
Right. And am I right in thinking that the school at the Ellen Village was where the lodge is now?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. There was a school immediately above it when the works were going on, but this new school was built in 1909. And my mother went to the old school just above it. But my father was not allowed to go to that school because he was living in the Radnorshire side, and he had to walk 3 miles to come to the school every day.
So you yourself went to the Ellen Village School, but you were still in what was then Radnorshire, weren't you? So were there many other children from Radnorshire in that school?
No. I think at the time I left, there was just two of us. The other boy didn't try the 11 plus, so he went straight to Brinturion. There was three the same age as me living on the Breckenshire side, so they went to Bilth High School, and they didn't have to try the 11 plus. I was the only one out of the five of us that had to try the 11 plus.
And was that because Radnorshire and Breckenshire, being different authorities, had decided different rules regarding the 11 plus?
Yes, it has. Yes, yes. I mean, it's different now. You can go to any school, but in them days it was Radnorshire and Breckenshire. And I only lived 200 yards from the River Ellen, and if I'd been the other side, I'd have been in Breckenshire.
And would not have had to take the 11 plus, I see. Now, having taken the 11 plus, what school did you then go to, John?
I went to Llandrindod Grammar School in the first week of September 1959, when a school car driven by Mr. Harold Ashton from the shop down opposite Jimmy Lloyd's yard drove me down to the bus, and then we met the bus up by the Smithfield in Rayder. And there was a boys' bus and a girls' bus.
And how long were you at that school, travelling to and from then, John?
Well, I left in 1963 because I'd had a couple of run-ins with Mr. Howell's headmaster, and he said that I had to try my O-levels, and I said, I'll show you, and I left.
You left. Right. Well, John, you must have seen quite a lot of changes in the valley. Would you like to talk a little bit about the development of the valley as you know it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen lots of changes. Not for the better, in my opinion. Although I'm a proud Welshman, Birmingham were very good landlords, and they were good to the farmers, and they would provide new gates and hurdles and fencing material every year. And then when it changed over to Welsh Water, it was a downward spiral. And I think the valley was much better in those days, much tidier. You could fish from the Cabin Dam to Garrick Dee. That railway line had two or three sheep in it, and it kept all the foliage down. Now it's just like a jungle, and you can't fish 1 yard of it.
Very, very unfortunate, because fishing is really quite a prominent activity, yeah, in our area, isn't it? Yes. Speaking about the livestock now, how often did you actually come into Rayder to the market or to any other market?
Well, I don't remember coming much. My father, you know, would bring a cow or a cow and calf or something occasionally to the mart, and we'd always sell our sale ewes in the autumn, and we drove them down with two dogs, and I sometimes walked in front and my father behind, and we never lost one. We always got them to the market and tied the dogs up there all day and sold. And 1 year the price was poor, so we didn't sell. I was about 16 at the time, Anyway, my father was getting on then, and a car stopped when we were driving these sheep home, and he offered father a lift home. And he said, I'll leave my dog with you. And soon as father got in the car, the dog went back towards Rada, and unfortunately got killed by a car. And I got the sheep home with my dog, and then my sister Joan went back to Rada in the van to look for this dog and found him dead on the road and brought him back.
Oh, that
was a sad day.
How unfortunate, one that I'm sure.
And we took the sheep to the next fair and didn't do any better, so we may as well have sold them on the first fair.
All memories, of course, John, aren't they? Yes. Now, if we could come back to the school. I believe you had some relatives that actually taught at that school, John. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Well, they didn't teach at that school. They taught at the old school up the cabin, which is now under the water. I think they moved here in 1891. Elizabeth Abley and her sister Alice Ann Abley, who became my grandmother. She married Evan Jones from Upper Llanfadog. And they were brought here to teach English because they knew that the dams was coming and there was a lot of English and Irish and Scots people moving into the area. So that was the end of the Welsh language in the Allan Valley School.
The demise of the Welsh language in the valley is something I'd like to touch on now. Prior to that, your family would have been Welsh speakers, presumably, your ancestors.
Yes.
Do you actually remember any of your family, older relatives, actually speaking Welsh as their day-to-day language?
Well, my father could speak Welsh quite good, but as he had an English mother, there was English spoke at home, you know, but his father was fluent Welsh. And then on my mother's side, the family, they were all fluent Welsh, but, you know, they had died before I was sort of born, so. And my grandfather and grandmother from the Clean, they were more English than Welsh, because they were both, well, one was brought up at the Gwynfyn and the other was brought up at the Dunfyn, Newbridge-on-Wye.
I see. And so was Welsh not taught at all then in either of those schools, the old one you've mentioned and the current one? Was Welsh not taught at all?
No, there was no Welsh in school when I was there.
Mm.
Well, we did the national anthem and that in Welsh, but no, it was all English.
See. And what about your grammar school days then in Llandrindod? Did you learn Welsh there at all?
Yes, when I went to Llandrindod, I had the choice to either learn Welsh or French, and I was taught Welsh with a teacher called Annie Griffiths.
Right. So, sadly, there's a real resurgence now in learning Welsh, of course, but it's, you know, it's a little sad.
Yeah, my two grandchildren now, Arthur and Marnie, are both in the Welsh unit.
That's a very good idea. That's here in Rada, is it?
Yes, up in Brinterion, which I'm very pleased about, because I am very Welsh, you know, in my thoughts.
Very commendable, John, I'm sure. John, could we touch on pony trekking? I understand you had quite an involvement in that in your younger days.
Yes, I was on the pony trekking committee for many years. They were called Rada Pony Trekking Association. And Mr. David Evans was the secretary. And people like Kinsey Morgan and Gerald Morgan were chairman and vice chairman. And I was always interested in it, probably because every year a lot of pretty girls came along. And I met one called Gina Day. And after on and off romance for 4 years. I married her, and she is now still called Gina Jones, but unfortunately we got divorced. But the trekking was a wonderful thing, and I've seen up to 100 ponies going out on a day, you know. A terrific line of trekkers, and they came from all over the, well, all over Europe, actually. But in the end, I was guide for 2 years, and it was a much harder job then, because instead of having a trekker for a week who would pick up things, you had day trekkers, and half of them couldn't ride, and you couldn't go any faster than the slowest rider or the poorest rider, and some you had to lead, you know. But I always found out that if anybody arrived on a motorbike, they could ride. It was, the balance was right. I've never seen a poor rider off a motorbike.
Using the same muscles, I wouldn't doubt. Fine. Now, John, you've spoken about riding your bike a lot for recreation, etc. Did you use horses as a means of transport for getting around generally at all?
Oh, yes. My father was always on horseback. He used to do all the gathering of sheep on horseback, and I rode a horse a lot. Like, I was probably riding a three-year-old. I think I started off on the donkey in Aberystwyth, but I've got a photo of me on that. And we had a hill up above the Clerwyn Dam called Cluddia. So when we wanted to gather that, we would ride up to the Henfron and then go over the top of the hill and drop down on Cluddia, always on horseback, drive the sheep back down what we wanted to bring down to the Henfron, have dinner there with my auntie and uncle, and then drive them down to Llanfadwg on horseback. There, but mind you, in those days, I'm talking up to 1979, the roads were much quieter than today, and you felt quite happy. Now you can't go 100 yards without there's a car behind you.
Things have certainly changed, haven't they, in the transport department, yes. John, I understand you've worked very hard and long on compiling your family tree. And am I right in thinking that it takes you right back to the Lewis Lloyds, the original landowners?
Yes. Well, me and my son Tom have done a lot of work on it, and I've had help of other people. But being as they were sort of landed gentry, it was quite easy to trace them. But Tom has gone back, I think it's 700 years, to the Powells from Llanacow, who married into the Lewis Lloyds, and I've got it down to this present day, which I'm very proud of. And now, when the dams are very low, the walls of Nantwilt have all come in sight, the gardens, you know, and that's where I think, you know, that it all started for me in the Ellen Valley.
Well, it's wonderful to see these houses suddenly arising out of the water, isn't it? It makes you want to do that. You mentioned the Llanachawr. That was, and Nant Gwilt, I believe, where the Lewis Lloyds lived. Were they actually in the Ellen Valley, or were they in the Clydewen Valley?
Well, it's actually on the banks of the Clerwyn River, isn't it? The Nant Gwilt estate. But I mean, they own so much of it, right up to Clerwyn Farm, which, you know, is miles above the Clerwyn Dam. And one of my ancestors, Peter Jones from Abergwesin, who already was a huge landowner over there and had thousands of sheep, he married into the Lewis Lloyds, and the rest is history, as they say.
And how long have you been working on this family tree then, you and your son?
Oh, you're never finished. You know, there's something comes up new all the time. I found a cousin in London the other day, Sanders, her name is Miss Sanders, and there's a lot of them out in Perth and Patagonia, and mother's great uncle David Jones had a farm out in Buenos Aires, and the name of the farm was Elvira, and my mother named my older sister Elvira Mary.
How nice. Right, you have grandchildren now, John. Are they enjoying being at the valley and enjoying the places where you grew up?
Yes, because I've still got some ground belonging to Apple and Radog, and they love it up there. Arthur went up the other day to burn a bit of cardboard and something, and he thinks it's wonderful. And Marnie's up there every night with her father running a dog round. And they, I think it's nice to get out of town.
Well, what better place, indeed, than the beautiful Ellen Valley. Well, John, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. We could go on all day, really, thinking about things. So thank you very, very much for your input, your time, and all your fascinating information.
Thank you very much for you asking me these questions.
You're welcome.